if you start from that point, concluding that it's going to happen, then how would you begin planning for the very different world we're going to be in?
Well, I think you put your finger on something important. We're going to have to deal with some degree of climate change. It's already happening. We're seeing it. And so it's a question of how serious you let it become. So you're doing a combination of dealing with the inevitable climate change and taking steps to reduce the amount of further climate change. But as I said, for example, one of the things that are going to have to be dealt with is rising sea level. And that means that low-lying, vulnerable coastal areas are going to take some defending. The Netherlands, for example, is planning to strengthen the dikes. And there may be areas that are going to become uninhabitable. Some very low-lying island areas, for example, may have to be abandoned. And that's unfortunate, but you can't live with water around your ankles. And so I think that's a very serious issue. I'm not sure I'm as pessimistic as you are. I'm optimistic technologically in terms of the potential of the things that can be done. I alternate between optimism and pessimism about mustering the political will to get them done. But we know, for example, some of the things that have to happen. It isn't going to be a single magic bullet. And so energy efficiency and energy conservation at the top of everybody's list, greater renewable energy supplies, a greater reliance on the renewables, that's solar and wind and hydro and biofuels, so on. I think nuclear power is going to have a role to play. We can talk about that. As you know, it's controversial in this country. But France is 80% nuclear, and that was a conscious decision the French made for their electricity supply and that they implemented over about 30 years. We know what the problems are with nuclear. They're serious, but they're not that many of them. One of them is cost, one is reactor safety, one is waste disposal, one is proliferation. All of those are things that can be worked on. I think also carbon sequestration, that is the trying to capture the carbon dioxide before it goes out of the chimney. That's something that hasn't had a proper large-scale test yet, but there's potential there too. And, of course, one wants to keep doing research on the far-off, not yet practicable, alternate energy sources, fusion, for example, the hydrogen economy, things that people talk about futuristically. But I'm confident, I'm optimistic about the technological capability. After all, just think, put yourself back in 1900, a century ago, and think of how little of the things we take for granted today, from nuclear weapons to jet planes to pharmaceuticals to color TV, were even dreamed of by visionaries at that time. Technologically, lots is possible. There's tremendous progress that can be made.
Is there any other kind of magical technological solution, anything that can mitigate what otherwise is going to happen? I mean, people talk about putting mirrors in space or somehow limiting the amount of sunlight that, you know, that gets to Earth. Anything in that arena that you consider practical?
There's nothing practical on the horizon now. Those kinds of geoengineering techniques, making the Earth more reflective in various ways, they have usually big feasibility issues. You've got to loft a lot of stuff into space. And I'm concerned about the ethical and legal aspects, too. Who has the right to make that decision for the whole planet, for example? And I'm also concerned about unanticipated consequences. It's really a little bit arrogant, I think, to believe that you understand those technologies well enough so that you can implement them and be sure that everything will turn out for the best. Also, even at best, they don't solve all the problems. For example, one of the problems of putting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, which is what we're doing every day, is that some of it ends up in the ocean. Long term, a lot of it ends up in the ocean, and it becomes dilute carbonic acid and makes the ocean more acid. And for shell-bearing organisms, like corals, for example, a lot of small animals at the base of the food chain, if the ocean gets much more acidic, they have trouble making shells. And we can't yet predict the consequences for marine life. But the short answer is it's much better to stop the problem at the source by greatly reducing the amount of CO2 that we put into the atmosphere. It's much better to do that than to try to clean up the mess after you've let it in there. Richard Branson, the noted billionaire, is offering a prize for somebody who can figure out a way to get the CO2 back out of the atmosphere. And that's going to be chemically, thermodynamically tough to do, but it's a lot of money behind the prize, and maybe he'll induce some very smart person to figure out a practical way.
Well, I suppose trouble for us is not trouble for everybody, and with warmer temperatures, there are going to be some areas that are now kind of cool, and for that reason, not as, as populated as they might be, that are going to get warmer and be better places to live, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are going to be some areas in the far north, perhaps in Canada, perhaps in Siberia or northern Russia, that will have longer growing seasons. There will be more balmy climates. When one does the things in detail, though, you know, counts up the winners and the losers, then there's more damage than benefit. And in particular, plants do grow better, but not just the crops you want to grow, so do the weeds and the things that produce pollen and mm-hmm. and so on. So it's on most accountings that people have tried to look downstream and see the consequences, the bad outweighs the good. Furthermore, the time scale is faster than what we're accustomed to. The Earth has gone through a lot of climate change naturally on very long timescales. Ice ages come and go, for example. Human beings have nothing to do with that. We know why ice ages come and go. But as you know, when they do come and go, they have big consequences for life on Earth, large species extinctions and so on. And this time we're really very rapidly changing the climate compared to the natural rate of change. Ice ages come and go on a timescale of 10,000 years. And this change, as you see, is happening on decades.
Professor, where are we in the world of ice ages? Are we coming or going, or where are we right now?
Well, we're in an interglacial period in between ice ages, and if there were no human interference with the climate system, we would expect a very gradual cooling, but so gradual that you wouldn't detect it over a human lifetime. So over several thousand years, the Earth would cool back into another ice age. That gets caused by changes in the Earth's orbit around the sun. But it's so slow that it wouldn't matter on the local time scale. Right now, for better or worse, human activities have become dominant in all the natural factors are still there. Sometimes people think that the scientists forget about volcanoes and the sun changing and all of that. We know all about that, but they're not fast enough and not strong enough to counteract the human influences on this time scale of a century and less. Right now, we're headed into a warmer world. You know, we understand the greenhouse effect very well, this heat-trapping effect. And carbon dioxide, which is the most serious of the man-made greenhouse gases, has increased so rapidly that right now, if you sampled the atmosphere, better than 1 out of 4 of every carbon dioxide molecules is man-made. We've made a real change in the chemical composition of the global atmosphere. And so for people who don't want to think this problem is serious, you can turn the question around and ask them, well, gee, understanding as much as we do about the greenhouse effect, why wouldn't you think that an increase of 30-something percent in an important greenhouse gas would have a climate consequence? And the answer is there isn't any good reason not to believe that. We really do have a clear understanding of what's going on here. There's a lot of unanswered questions out in the details, but the basic physics is well understood.